Blog Talk Radio.
This fall, the Fantasy Sports Channel will make history
all over again
with even more live fantasy sports radio than anywhere on the planet. At least 12 hours of fantasy football, baseball, basketball, and hockey action each Monday through Friday. Plus more fantasy sports talk every Saturday and Sunday. More than 50 shows in all from the best fantasy sportscasters in the business.
Try getting that on your radio dial.
The Fantasy Sports Channel. Only on Blog Talk Radio.
It's a schedule you can bet on.
Mike, rumor has it the lockout is over. Could it possibly be? Let's get it going, Red versus Blue.
I'm living in that 21st century, doing something mean to it. Do it better than anybody you ever seen do it. Straight from the haters, got a nice ring to it. I guess every superhero need a theme music. No one man to have all that power. The clock ticking, I just count the hours. Stop tripping, I'm tripping off the power. The system broken, it's so.
One bleeds red, and one bleeds blue. Two friends, one heated rivalry. It's intense. It's no holds barred. It's game time.
Say hi, let's go!
On Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio, with your host, Scott Atkins and Michael Trent. Scott and Mike and their versatility bring new light to many topics in and out of the world of fantasy sports. Guests can reach the show by calling 347-324-5404. Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio, where Planet Red and Big Blue Nation collide. Let's hope they're still friends afterwards. Here they are, Scott and Mike.
Mike, it's the rumor has it around the rumor mill that, you know, the lockout could be almost over. We've just got signatures to file and a few small loose ends, but the biggest part's that rookie salary cap, and those are the biggest parts here, man. It seems like that we might just be at the end of this thing, July 15th to July 21st.
Yeah, it's looking great, Scott. I mean, everything is in order. They got that the rookie salary cap basically taken care of. And, hey, how about some football? Let's get ready to draft, and let's get ready to look at some players that we need to be focused on.
All right, that's what we're going to try to do tonight. This is Scott Atkins, Team Legacy in the world of high-stakes fantasy football. As always, I'm joined by the Big Blue co-host himself from Brandenburg, Kentucky, Michael Trent. This is Red versus Blue High Stakes Fantasy Radio. Wherever you may be, thanks for making us part of your night. Man, I tell you, it's just been one of those things, trying to get back into the groove with the NFL season. Man, they've really disappointed us. And, you know, we would have had by now draft after draft. I know we've had a few drafts, you know, but nothing like the norm for us, you know?
Well, I know, Scott, and but to be quite honest with you, I'm in the midst of my third mock draft, just to, you know, kind of have fun, just as if things are going to happen the way they are, and you know, it's given a lot of practice for us that have been in those mock drafts, and we've had a good time doing them, and we're in the midst of a mock draft right now in the seventh round. So don't act like that this league is not going away or is not going to, you know, fold or do whatever because it's too big. It's too big. There's too much money there, and I'll be honest with you, Scott. I've been upset and kind of disappointed with what might happen, but knowing what will happen here in the next, I'd say, 2-3 days, we're in good shape. And everybody else is in good shape. So let's get ready to draft some players and have some fun with it.
We got Wayne Ellis in the chat room. We got Glenn Schroeder in the chat room. Invictus Peasy for She's. Invictus Dynasty from BFD, Big F and Dynasty Show. We've got it's a nice crowd tonight. Trying to get back into the flow of things. We affectionately call the chat room here at Red vs. Blue the crew, comprising the best minds in the world of high-stakes fantasy football during the season. You know, you got those who-do-I-starts and all those questionable lineup decisions. This is the show you want to show up on every Friday night. Your lineup decisions are pretty much down to A or B or maybe even a C, and you've had enough time to think about it. You need to get it locked down, and this is why you show up to the crew in the chat room here at Red vs. Blue. We broadcast live on the Fantasy Sports Channel. Mark Ronick and the guys at Blog Talk Radio on the Fantasy Sports Channel bring fantasy coverage live 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's pretty incredible to be able to watch it on your or listen to it on your laptop, your iPod, MP3 player, the iPad. You've got pretty much anything you want that can stream your radio, stream podcast. You can check us out. The one that's very popular these days is Apple TV. Plugs right into the television. Little component if your TV is USB or even your I think your receiver, if it's USB compatible, plop it right in, and bam, before you know it, you're checking out the podcast on the Fantasy Sports Channel. You know, while you're getting out of your shower and you know, getting ready for work or whatever, you can just check it out with ease through your sound system. Pretty nice. All right, Mike, we've got go ahead, bud.
Yeah, there's a lot of great information there, Scott, and you know, I think a lot of people can enjoy what they're hearing. Just pick one thing or that they feed off of, and go from there, and you know. Just, you know, understand that we're just kind of average, ordinary guys. But I tell you what, we can give you some knowledge that you would like.
You know what? We ran into DeAndre Heron, an offensive tackle. The wife ran into him in Avon today. He just recently signed this week with the University of Louisville. He's going to be a senior at Avon High School this year, and he's already signed to the University of Louisville. Big kid, Mike, 6'5", 310 already, man. You talk about an offensive line beast to help out that offensive line of cards. He was recruited heavily from some schools, some of the middle-tier schools, not the big-name schools, but it was kind of nice to be able to see a local kid here in town wearing his Louisville colors, and he looks over and, you know, she looks over at him and is like, hey, my husband's a big Louisville guy, and He turns around and he said, "I just signed 4 days ago." That was pretty cool.
You know what? That is pretty cool, Scott. And me being a big Blue fan, I was walking off of number 18 last weekend, last Saturday, and one of the biggest diehard big Blue fans. He looked at me. He said, "Let me tell you something. Charlie Strong is building this team, and this is going to be one serious team." And we're gonna have our hands full come September.
Hey, it's just kind of nice to run into a local guy like that. Look, we want to follow the world of high stakes fantasy football here. We've obviously got the news, the disappointing news of the World Championship of Fantasy Football continues to wait. Winners continue to wait. We get the emails every day. Somebody else just popping on, had no idea about the situation, letting us know that they're owed $1,000, $2,000, $3,000. People are complaining at the attorney general's trying to get any kind of action they can. The story continues to be that they're in the middle of a process or transfer of ownership. And then we have the unfortunate news about Dustin Ashby, operator, owner of the World Championship with stage 4 cancer. That came out and broke on the boards by Sean Childs, someone who appears to be close to the situation, or at least in talks with Dustin Ashby on a semi or somewhat regular basis. Obviously, prayers go out about that news, but the big news is that there's millions, at least, you know, or roughly a million or more dollars owed outstanding to players, and we're in July, heading into August. Preseason is right around the corner, and we've got players that are owed over six figures, and we've got players that are owed just a lot of money, Mike, and you like to play this game for fun. We like to do it because of we think it's a skill, and we like it for bragging rights and the camaraderie and the brotherhood. But something like this, man, it really challenges us to the very fabric. Thank God we have some other choices, because if it it all started with the WCFF, and it looks like it's going to carry on and move into some other contests, because this doesn't look good.
Yeah, you know, first off, my thoughts and prayers go out to Dustin and everybody involved. But the bottom line is you have to understand it's a business. It's a business, and you have to run it like a business. And you want everybody to, you know, they spend a lot of hard-earned money, time, energy going through these things and trying to win a league. And I know I do. I'm pretty sure you do, Scott, and everybody on in the chat room, the crew. I mean, everybody else does that. That's what we do. And, you know, you still want to be, you know, rewarded for the work that you do. And, you know, it's just, it's kind of like I'm going to go off on a tangent here. I was listening to the Mike North show on Fox Sports Network. It was on a Sunday night, last Sunday night. And I listen to him about every Sunday night when I'm coming home from work. And, you know, I've always enjoyed the show. And he had the AFFL commissioner, and he called him Commissioner Bob. And this is a show that is going nationwide. And I had a real problem with that when I heard him, Commissioner Bob, and this and that. You know, he was talking about fantasy football and this and that. But I understand that, you know, he hasn't paid out in 2009. So I guess I'm going off on a tangent here, Scott. But, you know, I'm really upset about the fact that a lot of those leagues have not paid people that have worked hard. They did their due diligence. They worked hard to get there. They won it and haven't gotten paid. That really bugs me. I guess that's what I'm going to sum it up with that.
Yeah, well, I hear you, man. There's been a lot of correspondence going on with the AFFL on their Facebook page. The group has been closed, so if you're not part of that group, I don't think you can join that group. I think it is a closed group now. But there has been a lot of correspondence on that side, and those guys are standing up and saying, hey, we're still here. The history of the AFFL is what it is. They talk about how very often and frequently and inaccurately in a lot of cases that the documentation is not true. They do say that when they took over the contest in 2008, that all 2010 prize winners have been paid in full. And then in 2009, Mr. Golub expressed, you know, that they did experience financial difficulty, that they didn't steal, scheme, or run away. It was not a Ponzi scheming. They did. They said they sent out money to almost every single prize winner. They said initially we sent full payments, half payments, and quarter payments to the prize winners. They said to date of the over 300 prize winners in 2009, there are still approximately 50 remaining that we owe money to. Now, this is 2009 they still owe. 2010 is good, as they say, and that they're moving on with 2011. Wow. I mean, it's just amazing that they can continue to let those guys that have played, you know, keep the hope that they're going to get paid. They call it a few remaining 09 prize winners, which, of course, they're saying 50 by their reports, still not paid in full. So just an amazing evolution of this game, the AFFL, to see it come, and it's still going on in 2011. It's real interesting to see how this is going to be approached by the fantasy community when all this information starts to really rattle off and people start to take a look at the entire situation. But, hey, look, let's get on to the good stuff, man. We've got the NFL. We got the lockout possibly over, Mike T. We've got big things. You know what that means. If the lockout's over, we can start talking about the FFPC. We can start talking about the NFFC. these yep. high stakes competitions that we're going to love, we're going to participate in, we're going to be a part of, and we're going to try to win the big money. That's what we're here for. We're trying to win a big cash, big check, and have a little fun in Vegas with all of our friends. Now, the FFPC announced this week that Thursday, September 8th, 2011, live at the legendary Caesars Palace, they will be hosting the opening night viewing party. Again, the party is absolutely free to all FFPC live participants and co-managers, Mike. So if you want to come out, be my co-manager. We get the party absolutely free. There will be a bar there. You might get a couple of tickets to that or something. But the cool thing is we get to be out there. And, you know, I don't know if I'm hosting the round table again. That was kind of fun. I never emceed a party before like that. That was a lot of fun for me. I would do it again if asked. I don't think I've been asked. Maybe I was. Maybe I was drunk and I don't remember. But it was a lot of fun last year, and I would definitely go back again in 2011.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun, Scott. You know, there's a pretty good chance I could make that. But FFPC, they do one heck of a job. Dave and Alex, they continue to impress. And Chris Lambert, I mean, she does an awesome job at what she's doing. And, you know, it's awesome to be, you know, just participate in those type of adventures. And as well as the NFFC, I mean, you know, Greg Ambrosius, I mean, he's making things happen with that organization. So there's a lot of things to look forward to now that the quote lockout is about done. Let's hope it is. I mean, it's time to start looking for free agents and you know, just looking to have some fun with drafting players. Let's go about it like it's normal business now. Scott? Well, anyway, Scott's gone, I guess. But, you know, it's been a lot of fun, and, you know, we're just looking forward to everything. One thing I want to bring up is the FFPC, the Pros versus Joes. This has
Mike,
been a lot of fun.
Me?
And,
did you lose me?
The Joes have been announced, and I am so honored to be a part of that group. You know, it's been a lot of fun doing the Pros versus Joes. And, Scott, you're one of the pros. What do you think about
Mike,
that, Bub?
Did you lose me there for a second?
No, I'm right here. I've been with you all the time, Bub.
Okay. I didn't know if you could hear me earlier, but the NFFC is drafting in prime time. You're talking about the Pros versus Joes. I like that contest. We definitely have to do that again. The FPA's got to put up a little, or maybe Red versus Blue has to put up a prize or something. I don't know how we're going to do that this year. We've got to think of something creative. Last year we gave away a jersey to anybody who could beat us in the finals of the Pros versus Joes in our league. If they could beat my draft, we gave away a free FPA jersey. The funny thing is, the guys that were in my league finished in the entire competition 1-2 overall. It was Les Sandlin, and gosh, I can't remember who was number two, but I finished number five overall, and so I still had a good team, but I wasn't good enough to beat these two monsters that were in our draft. And so, we gave away a free jersey to Les, who requested the jersey. The other team, they requested. I gave them an option. I said, if you don't want the jersey, we'll sponsor you guys a couple of free playoff teams. And I think they took the three or six different playoff teams to try to win some money. And that was another option that was out there. And we like to put up some kind of bounty, you know, for the Pros versus Joes. That's a lot of fun. And I know
I'll be honest with you, Scott. I agree with Lance. Lance posted something. I think it ought to be called after this year, the way things are going, after this year, I think it should be called Joes versus Pros.
Hey, I 100% agree with you, man. The Joes have definitely represented. And when you're talking about recruiting the Joes, from the FFPC player base, man, you are in for a world of hurt if you think that's going to be an easy road, because for years now the FFPC has been kind of considered where the big boys play, because they got their launching pad from the high stakes veterans in the other contests. So it was really a very tough competition. You win that league, and that's a prestigious title there. In the other contests, you know, they've had a longer tradition. They've been around for a lot longer, so they had a lot of people coming. I mean, I would sit down with them, man. Some of them would have magazines. Being, drafting out of magazines, just paid $1,800, close to $2,000 to be out here and sit at this draft, and they're drafting out of a magazine, man. I'm like, and lots of bad picks and entry picks. You never know what you're going to get at a WCFM draft, really, to be honest. You know what? I take that back. The FFPC had its share in its third year. It started to happen a little bit. I started to see it. Matter of fact, in our draft, Wayne Ellis was in that draft. We were in it, and the guy to our right, a couple of seats down, he drafted like three guys in the 20 rounds of drafting. He drafted like three or four guys that were on injured reserve. I mean, he drafted Donnie Avery. Who else did he draft? I can't even think of all the names, but it was several guys that were hurt.
And, you know, I'm like, what the heck is he doing? Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it was. So it does happen. It takes a little time. You know, your name has to get out there, and then once you get out there to the mainstream and, you know, you get those types of customers that are just coming out there to play and have a good time. And, hey, come on out, have a good time. Hey, let the money, let the drinks flow. Give free drink to everybody. Drinks on me, man, at my draft table. That's how I roll. So, let's talk about this. I know that's how you roll, man. What was the comment last year? It was about it looked like a recycling.
Drinks are on me. Drinks are for me.
Yeah, it looked like a recycling party.
Hey, I'll tell you what, Scott, though, we got a list of a couple of Joes just to throw some out there. Syracuse Slappers, Chef Paul, they're in the Joes. Chris Lambert Fan Club, obviously, and Kale Crew, Money Incorporated, Pierce, Hicksville, Just Russ, which I'm glad to see. He's in there. And, you know, we got Murphy's Law, which is a new one, and doing pretty good. Glenn Eration X. Glenn, you're in, buddy. So don't worry about it. You know, I mean, we're fighting head-to-head in baseball, but you're in on the football. And Sports Betting Man, obviously.
Hey, the crew here at the chat room, Red vs. Blue, building up a little steam here as we're about halfway through the program. We've got War Kittens. John Duckworth has showed up to Red vs. Blue. Welcome, Johnny. Let's start with, we've got the NFL. We have to start off the talk of the NFL season like every year, like we do every year, Mike. And the first question on my mind is, will a team that needs a quarterback, right, at any time in this season, pick up the phone and make a call to Brett Favre and inquire about his services? yes or
you
no?
You know what? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's a team that's in desperate need, obviously. I really don't think that right now that any team of any significance, I'm thinking of Seattle, I'm thinking of a Washington, because Washington, they're going to get rid of Donovan McNabb. They're not going to be on the phone to get a hold of Brett Favre. They're going to be on the phone to get a hold of Kevin Cobb. That's who they're going to be on the phone to, because Brett Favre is done. Kevin Cobb is the guy they're going to be on the phone to.
Well, that's good that you bring up Kevin Cobb, because that's two situations right there that, you know what, when I look at Kevin Cobb and I look at Kyle Orton, I've got two teams in mind. I've got the Seattle Seahawks and I've got the Arizona Cardinals. You land with the Arizona Cardinals and you're in a great situation, because you have Fitzgerald and you have, both situations are nice, the NFC West, right? But if I'm a quarterback, I'm not looking real excited to be throwing to, you know, Golden Tate and Mike Williams. I would much rather throw to Larry Fitzgerald, possibly Preston, who we don't know if he's going to be there. But just having Larry Fitzgerald makes you feel pretty darn good. So Kevin Cobb, Kyle Orton, kind of up in the air. I don't know what else to say. It's Cardinals Seahawks or Seahawks Cardinals. I think it's kind of shake out that way. The other guys you got to talk about is Matt Hasselbeck. Matt Hasselbeck in a Titans uniform seems to be the word that's floating around here. Mike, 2 years, $15 million is what's being floated around. And I've got to tell you this, Mike, if the Titans, you know, they were the 26th ranked defense of 2010, so they've got to do something if they want to compete. They cannot come into the season with Jake Locker or Rusty Smith with a 26th ranked defense. They have to get a veteran quarterback. So if we take Matt Hasselbeck, what does that mean for the players like Chris Johnson, Kenny Britt, Jared Cook, guys that have fantasy value? I mean,
Scott,
Chris Johnson, I mean, he goes from number one to number one. I mean, I don't think anything shakes him up, you know?
Scott, are you kidding me? To put a veteran quarterback in there, in that position, in a position to succeed, when you have Britt, when you have Chris Johnson right there with you, I mean, this offense, I mean, they're going to succeed, and they're going to be successful. There's no doubt about it. Vince Young, he's out the door. Vince Young, I don't think, can play for any NFL team. So if you're even thinking about drafting Vince Young as a flyer in round 19-20, don't do it. Don't do it.
No. I think Hasselbeck, I think with Hasselbeck, Britt, I mean, Britt right now is being drafted wide receiver 26 on your draft boards. I think if you look at your wide receiver rankings and your ADP, I think if you get Matt Hasselbeck, he could be drafted as high as wide receiver 18. If with a steady quarterback like Hasselbeck, I mean, Britt, look, he could definitely miss some games, but with this whole lockout and labor agreement, I'm not so sure they're even going to be able to discipline this kid. Because they were, you know, they weren't even under contract. So I don't know how that's going to shake out. I think they have bigger fish to fry than going after the, you know, the Jerome Harrisons or the James Harrisons of the world for their comments and Kenny Britt's for their arrest. I think it might just be able to skate by this year and Hasselbeck with the Tennessee Titans. I think Britt goes back into the top 20 wide receivers. Jared Cook, I think he goes from about tight end 20 to about tight end 12 or 13. I think he's that good.
He moves up. Scott, he moves up. There's no doubt about it. Everybody, all the rookies that have been drafted, or everybody that was drafted that are now rookies, they've lost a year. They have lost a year. So if you're a redraft league, I would not rely heavily on any rookie that you've got coming in because they've lost everything. I would also take a look at, you know, veterans. Take a look at veteran players that are free agents that can fit into the system because it's going to be a short term before we get playing.
We've got Donovan McNabb, the rumor is, to the Vikings. Now, you know, Rick Perkins of FFTrader.com, he thinks so. A 13-year veteran, Donovan McNabb, can get up to speed quickly, right? That's the key with the Vikings. The lockout has ended any hope whatsoever that Ponder could step in day one and take over. And Mike, man, with those weapons, you got Peterson and Rice and Harvin and those tight ends. I mean, this seems like a no-fail situation for Donovan McNabb. I think Harvin and Rice go from, you know, that wide receiver 23 to 25 range. I think they go into legitimate top 20 options with Donovan McNabb.
Yeah, and you know what? Another thing, Scott, is we also have to realize that with this lockout being done, hopefully, they can't rely on rookies to just step in and do what they need to do. They have to rely on some veteran players, and McNabb is a perfect he's a perfect role, perfect fit for Minnesota. I mean, he can throw. He knows the routes. He knows all kinds of routes, and he can fit it in with Sidney Rice. And Sidney Rice could be a very, very good option this year.
And they're talking about Carson Palmer in the chat room, and I got to tell you, I just said this in the chat room. It will not shock me at all, in the very least, to see the Bengals hang on to Palmer and refuse to trade him. That team is batshit crazy, okay? I'm here to tell you, I've never seen a team so mismanaged. This team has had all the potential in the world for years, and they never seem to put it together because of the mental head cases in the front office and on the team and in the coaching staff all around. I mean, it's just never – it's been a debacle that they've even held on to such a loser of a head coach for that long.
Well, the Brown – it's all in the Brown family. They continue to do the same thing. They like to think that they can manage a team, but they really can't. And it's showing through because Carson Palmer is a stand-up, a great guy. I've met him. He's a wonderful, wonderful guy. And to see him just say, look, man, I'd rather retire than to play for this team or, you know, he can't stand the Cincinnati organization. And that's too bad.
All right, so that pretty much wraps up the quarterback segment that we had here on Red versus Blue. Let's move on to a couple of other situations that I want to get to, Mike. I'm looking
D-Will.
At Reggie Bush. We'll talk about D-Will. That one seems so talked out. Reggie Bush, I mean, where is a good fit? Jason Lockenfora thinks that Miami, it made it sound like the Dolphins were the team most interested in this cost-reduced Reggie Bush. I mean, they're going to get him for a steal. I mean, would the Saints like to re-sign him? I think so, but I don't think they can. I think that, you know, the drafting of Ingram, they've got Pierre Thomas, they've got the other young kid. I think that Miami does make a lot of sense. I think it's real interesting when you look at Miami, Mike. They went from the rushing attack number 4 in the NFL in 2009, and I just researched this tonight, to all the way down to 21st in 2010. That's a travesty. I mean, 31st ranked overall, or 21st ranked overall, and that was offensive coach Dan Henning. He's gone. But they're still featuring the Wildcat offense, and they drafted Daniel Thomas. They've got a new offensive coordinator, and he tinkered with the Wildcat quite a bit in Cleveland. And so you've got Daniel Thomas. They might even bring in like a Brad Smith or something. I don't know. Tony Sperano, he ideally wants, you know, he wants a ball control offense with a power rushing game. Problem is the running game is lit entirely through the 2010 season. They averaged 3.7 yards per carry. Mike, this is a fall from great story. When I look at this thing, I mean, look, number 4, number 21, and all you did was, I'm looking for what was the problem? It was an aging Ricky. It was an aging Ronnie. How do you go from rushing for 1,600 yards, they had over 2,000 yards and 22 touchdowns in 2009, and they come out and finished with 1,606 touchdowns, the fewest in the NFL.
Well, you know, you're bringing up Reggie Bush, and Reggie Bush in that offense has not been. You know, he has been profiled as a running back. He's a slot receiver. That's the way I look at Reggie Bush. And he's going to have a hard time finding a team. He better stand pat with New Orleans because there's nobody that's going to go out there and get him as a running back, as a quote running back.
You're absolutely right. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think what we're talking about, though, is the complementary back to Daniel Thomas. Daniel Thomas, we've got an issue here with Miami. They're going to need two running backs because that's Sperano's style. One running back cannot carry the load, and it sounds like Ronnie and Ricky are bye-bye. It's a young man's game. And so I'm looking at Darren Sproles or Reggie Bush. So let's talk about Darren Sproles for a second. Mike Clay of Pro Football Focus, he thinks the Sproles will land with the Dolphins. And when you look at Darren Sproles, a wilder of a catch rate, 86% of the time he catches the ball, 171 targets over the last 3 years, 10.4 yards per reception, 8.2% touchdown rate. Now, I'm throwing numbers out here because I look at that and I found the eye-popping numbers. Those rank well above the average running back, Mike. So Sproles is a special team weapon. Hold on a second. He's this guy that he would be huge for this. This would be a huge move for Daniel Thomas, a big endorsement. If they brought in Sproles, this would be a huge lift for Daniel Thomas because Sproles is not a high carry guy like Reggie Bush isn't. So that means you could bank on like 15 to 20 carries a game for Daniel Thomas. And so if you're drafting him right now at running back 23, I think if you bring in Sproles or Reggie Bush to the Dolphins, I think Thomas could end up more like RB 15 or 16.
Scott, I just can't buy that. I can't buy that. Based on Miami's offensive line, I mean, it's decent, but it's not great by any stretch of the imagination. I don't see anybody coming in as far as a running back to make a huge difference on that team.
You might be right, because I'm sitting here scratching my head, Mike, trying to figure out what is the cause of such a fall from grace, from number 4 to number 21. I mean, you look at this thing, and you can try to piece it together all you want and try to figure out what it is. Is it the offensive line? Is it the coach? They decided to pin it on the offensive coordinator, Dan Hennig. He's gone. And they're still going to keep the Wildcat offense, but this was during the summer. Bill Parcells and company rebuilt the interior of that offensive line that averaged 4.4 yards per carry just the previous year. So it didn't work, you know. So you might be right, but it really looked like they were even built for a better rushing year, and they got a worse one. So, you know, I think chemistry is really important on these football teams, and they don't have it. And so you may be right. A running back doesn't solve that situation.
No, not with that team. And I don't know if Chad Henney's going to be the solution either. I mean, they've got a lot of issues there in Miami, and I'm sure they'll work them out. But, you know, it starts up front, and it starts with the defensive line as well.
Mike, who gets a bigger contract, Randy Moss or Plaxico Burress? Who gets a bigger contract? You have to say it right now. Pick one of these guys, Randy Moss or Plaxico Burress, 2011. Who gets a bigger contract?
No question, Randy Moss. Plaxico, he's got to fit in with a veteran team. He may, you know, I can see Randy or Plaxico going to a New England or somebody that has veteran coaches, veteran players, things like that.
Hey, no way Plaxico goes in. He ended the perfect season, dude. No way that happens. No way.
You never know. You never know. He could end up with somebody that, you know, with some team that is very veteran team-wise.
The Steelers.
But do what?
He could go to the Steelers.
No, I couldn't see that.
Back in Pittsburgh, back with the Rooneys. Do you think the Rooneys would sign him after what they went through the last time? I don't know. Maybe Philly. He always talks about Philly, but I don't think Philly wants him. I really don't.
No, it wouldn't be Philly. I mean, I could just see New England scrapping this guy up. I swear I can. I mean, it fits. You know, it just screams to me to where Belichick could do something with this guy, but to your original question, Randy Moss.
How about Plaxico to San Diego with Vincent Jackson on one side, Plaxico on the other? You think Rivers would like that? Gates in the middle? Whoo! That would be kind of nice.
Oh, that would be scary, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Hey, you talk about San Diego wanting to prove something. You know, maybe an acquisition like that puts them over the hump.
Well,
I agree with you. I think Randy Moss will get the bigger contract. Everything that comes out of Randy Moss camp is like so gold. You know, do you remember last year how everybody fell for the Randy Moss draft him in the top 6, top 8 of your draft? I mean, do you remember the numbers that he was going to put up? I mean, you could have had Roddy White. You could have had Calvin Johnson. You could have had anybody, but I fell into it, and I took Randy Moss in the Kentucky draft, and I just dreaded it every day. And look, everything that comes out of this camp is like, oh, he's primed to return to the old Randy Moss. He's a freak. He's in freakish shape.
Yeah.
He's been working out. He's doing two-a-days. He's pulling tractors all spring and all summer. He's determined and motivated, and he has this huge chip on his shoulder. They're going to be getting the old Randy Moss. He's not just coming in to be on the team. He's going to be Randy Moss, a difference maker. Do you believe any of that?
Well, you know, I bought into a lot of it. One thing I'd like to ask you is, the crew is, who's going to be the next one? Who is the next difference maker, say this year? out of the rookie draft?
Well, you're talking about rookies that were drafted this year, and you're talking about wide receivers, running backs, or anything. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about wide receivers, running backs, quarterbacks, anybody. Who is your first impact player out of this year's rookie class?
Wow. Well, I think everybody, I think in the crew in the chat room, we'll look for answers to that. I would imagine most people are going to try to chime in with Mark Ingram in New Orleans. I would think that would be everybody's first pick. I don't think you can really bank on wide receivers to make that big of an impact in their first year. What you do, you know it, and you know it'll be somebody. It's just trying to figure out who it's going to be. I mean, is it going to be Greg Little? You know, for Cleveland, they need something, but you don't really know. It's kind of hard to pick wide receivers because even the best of the best don't break out. I mean, A.J. Green and Julio Jones are the talk of all the rookie drafts with Mark Ingram right up there at the top. But I think if they don't say Mark Ingram, I think they say Daniel Thomas because, again, he's just in a great situation. That team has to run the ball. He's going to get work. Now, somebody's going to come in and steal a whole lot of receptions from him. I really believe that. I think a Sproles or a Reggie Bush will do that. And then, of course, you've got my guy, my pick. I mean, if you ask me, I take Ryan Williams. I fully believe in the Ryan Williams experience. Everybody knows it here on Red versus Blue. Everybody in my dynasty league know it. I have him everywhere, and I paid a lot to get him. Ryan Williams is my guy. I don't think B.E. Wells is the answer there. I think we all know what Wizenhunt thinks. He was ranked at number 14 on their big board overall, so the fact that they got him in the second round, they were absolutely ecstatic. I mean, that in itself tells you what they think of him. So they're going to give him the ball and let him go. And then you've got Hightower there to help out with some carries. I think Wells might get moved, actually, in Arizona. And that's kind of what I'm hearing. You know, we all waited for Wells last year, too. He was another big disappointment. Sean Green, Beanie Wells. Randy Moss, throw them all into the big. It was the disappointment camp of 2010, and I'm not going back to the well. I don't, you know, you fool me once.
Are you sure?
I don't get fooled twice on the same guy, especially in these high stakes leagues. I'll let somebody else take a chance. I'm not doing it. That's not me.
Are you kidding me? Are you positive, Scott? Because I'm telling you what, some of these names you rattled off, they could have had breakout years, and you're pretty much. I don't want him, and that's it.
No, I love A.J. Green. I think he's a great red zone target. I think he has to get a little bit stronger, a little bit more physical to play in the NFL at a high level. If he wants to be elite, he'll definitely be good. If he wants to be elite, he's got to get a little tougher. Steve Wawrymski had a great article on that. His size and build just aren't adequate enough to be an elite wide receiver, and it's just not typical. So he needs to get a little bit tougher, a little bit stronger. And we'll see if his build can support that. Julio Jones, freak of nature. I think Matt Ryan's going to have a fantastic year. I think he bolts up into the elite quarterback status this year. I think everybody's sleeping on Matt Ryan because of how the offense was built in the past. And a lot of the coaching tree articles make sense that they don't throw to the number two wide receiver in that offense. I guarantee you it breaks the mold. They drafted Julio Jones to be a number one wide receiver. So they've got a 1-1A situation with Roddy White and Julio Jones. And believe me, they are not going to follow the coaching tree mold in Atlanta. They pay way too high of a price to do that. They are going to change their offensive philosophy because they have this guy on the other side of the field. Matt Ryan's going to have a very good year, Mike.
I want to throw something at you real quick. Let's just have fun here. Seattle gets rid of Hasselbeck. There's a quarterback that's out there, Matt Leinart. And I'm not a Matt Leinart fan per se, but how would Matt Leinart fit with Pete Carroll in Seattle?
Okay. All right. Mike,
hold on. I'm serious. I'm very serious, Scott.
Mike, I don't know how to tell you this, but Matt Leinart's not any good. And and Pete Carroll knows that. So
okay.
you've got roughly four potential quarterbacks. We'll say five starting quarterbacks for the Seattle Seahawks. I'll guarantee you it's one of these five. If it's not one of these five, I'll give you $100. You ready? Matt Hasselbeck, Charlie Whitehurst, Carson Palmer, Kyle Orton, or Kevin Cobb. There you go. That's your five. It's one of those five. It's going to be one of those five.
I'm not saying Matt Leiter's going to step in and start. I'm just saying that what if?
All right. Well, you should, bringing up his name, look, what is the buzzer meter tonight? You didn't give us an update. Come on. I rang the buzzer meter for you. What were you at?
Three.
Oh, okay. Braylon Edwards,
I'm sorry, Braylon couldn't get it in higher.
Rob Warner of FF Spin has Braylon to the Bears. Now, look at this. Braylon to the Bears. Pat Happy, Mike Martz. Would Braylon be a perfect fit or what with Johnny Knox, Earl Bennett, and Devin Hester? I mean, the Bears were the 27th ranked passing offense. Improving their red zone, Mike, it seems to make sense to me. His best season, if you remember back, it was a BFD special, the breakout player. 16 touchdowns, 1,289 yards, finished number three wide receiver overall. That 07 season was with your quarterback, Mike. I know you love the guy. Do you remember?
Yep.
Derek Anderson. Now, the Jets have a decision to make. They have to decide between either Santonio Holmes or Braylon Edwards. And I looked up some stats, Mike. The funny thing is, I love this yards per target. This new stat, yards per target, I've been talking about it for, probably the last couple months here, maybe even last year as well. But yards per target, Braylon Edwards ranked seventh in the league overall. He was very effective last year, seventh in the league overall at 9 yards per target. Santonio Holmes, I love the touchdowns in the corner of the end zone with the tiptoes. I mean, I love that. That's Santonio Holmes, right? We see that all the time for him.
Right.
Only 7.9 yards per target. So Braylon was actually more effective. It's going to be so interesting. I've heard that Holmes is the target of the Jets off-season. That's their number one priority. But I also hear that Mike Shanahan has made it no secret that Santonio Holmes is their number one priority. He's the object of Shanahan's obsession. So I don't know what's going to happen there. How do you see that shaking out? Who do the Jets hang on to, and do they break the bank to keep Holmes if somebody like, Washington comes after him?
I think they got to keep a hold of Santonio Holmes. I mean, that's what you got to do. I mean, the guy, he knows everything. He knows the system. He knows the system with Sanchez and everything. You know, disrupt something that is good, and it is good. I mean, they've got a good rapport. Let's face it, the Jets. They have to address running backs more than anything else. I think LT is going to be, he's going to be all right with Sean Green, but are they that good behind the offensive line? Yeah, they might get it done, but is it good enough to get to where they want to go? I mean, Rex Ryan, he wants to go to the Super Bowl. That whole team
wants to
go to the Super Bowl. That's what it's all about. So, to answer your question, Santonio Holmes is your guy.
Well, you got to watch this Washington situation very closely. If Shanahan is as high on Santonio Holmes as they say he is, there's a reason why you want to watch where Santonio Holmes is being drafted, because if he lands in Washington, look out. I mean, I look at four teams here, Indianapolis, New Orleans, Detroit, and Washington. What do those four teams have in common, Mike? The four most passing attempts in the league last year. You got it. So whoever lands in Washington is in a great situation. You got Chris Cooley, you got Armstrong, you got the kid Hankerson, and now you've either got Santonio Holmes or maybe a Sidney Rice, Mike. Now let's talk about Sidney Rice. Sidney Rice is another guy that the injury verdict is still out and everybody's not real sure. You still got to get this kid and test him and find out just how healthy this kid is. But Sidney Rice drafted right now about wide receiver 25 in Minnesota with a rookie quarterback, or maybe Tavares Jackson. But if they get a McNabb, like we talked about earlier in the show, or if he lands in a situation like St. Louis, which is the current rumor mill, I mean, how high could this kid be drafted? Wide receiver 15 or 16 or so? I mean,
That would change. I mean, Scott, he goes from round 5, 6, 4, 5 to, I mean, he pushes up the ladder to second, third round. Easy.
Yeah, definitely. Look, everybody's looking for Bradford's new toy, right? Everybody wants to have a piece of Sam Bradford. I mean, this guy, he's going to throw the ball 40 times a game. That's what he does. He throws the ball. But who's it going to be, Mike? I mean, here's the current list of possibilities for Sam Bradford. You got Donnie Avery. You got Danny Amendola. You got Denario Alexander. You got Mark Clayton. You got the rookies, Pettis and Salas. And now, potentially, Sidney Rice. It could be Plaxico Burress. It could be Vincent Jackson, for all I know. I mean, I have no idea what to think about St. Louis.
You forgot about a receiver that is going to be rock solid in that offense. It's Steven Jackson. I can't believe that I'm saying that, but in this offense, Steven Jackson is going to be so viable coming out of the backfield, and, I mean, he can just drop over the middle and no problem. There's 10, 12 yards plus.
Yeah. Oh, he's still Steven Jackson. He's definitely a discounted running back. If you could start off your draft with a wide receiver, an elite wide receiver in round one, come back and get Steven Jackson in somewhere early round two, man, I think you've got to feel good about that. You don't look at him from a dynasty perspective. You look at him as a redraft running back.
Well, Scott, in the drafts that I've been going through, like I said earlier in the show, I love the 6, 7, 8 position to draft because you're going to get a guy like Steven Jackson. And then you can come back with a couple of good wide receivers and then still have a Noshon Moreno or a Cedric Benson and then a Vernon Davis. I mean,
that,
I'm going
you know
through,
what,
that,
that sounds like a Mike Trent team right there. Steven Jackson, Vernon, what was it? Steven Jackson, Benson, Moreno. That sounds like a Mike's TV team right there.
Another guy
that might be on the Mike Teasy team, Laurent Robinson. That's the final name I'm going to give you for St. Louis, dude. I don't know what to think of the Rams. I'm really just throwing out and reaching at anything because I want Sam Bradford's top guy. I don't know how I'm going to do it. So either you're throwing darts and you're just hoping to get one, in the 18th, 19th, and 20th, or wherever these guys are at. But guess who's been at Larry Fitzgerald's camp this summer? I mean, we all remember the stories how the Fitz camp has been credited with helping Dwayne Bowe and Sidney Rice have those breakout seasons. Laurent Robinson is at the Fitzgerald camp this year. And so, you never know. Sam Bradford has a weapon on his team because it's whoever he falls in love with. That's who is going to be so special in St. Louis. And that's why Mark Clayton looked so dang good last year because Bradford fell in love with him. They're both Oklahoma guys. Maybe it was that Oklahoma connection because nobody saw that coming. Clayton was a super stud, and then he gets hurt. So they're all coming off of injuries. Every one of them is an injury risk. Alexander, Avery, Clayton, Robinson, even if he took on Sidney Rice, I mean, they're all injury risks. You've got Danny Amendola, who's the 90-catch Welker type, but he didn't impress me at all. I mean, he should have done more than he did last year with Bradford playing that well. Pettis and Salas, we still don't know about. I kind of like Pettis a little bit. The St. Louis situation is one that you just have no clue what it looks like right now. But as we watch some preseason games, I guarantee you this. One of those, if not two of those wide receivers, are going to shoot up the board based on the preseason chemistry with Sam Bradford. So we've got to keep our eye on that, don't we?
Yep, that's good. All right, let's keep going, man. The team that I was looking at was Steven Jackson, Felix Jones, Noshon Moreno, and then at wide receiver was Greg Jennings, Andre Johnson, Steve Smith, and tight end on Vernon Davis. So I'm pretty happy with that.
you got Jennings and Andre. So, see, you just said it backwards. Basically, you got your wide receivers, Andre first.
Yeah.
You were talking about Steven Jackson coming back with wide receivers. You went with your wide receiver, Andre. That's perfect. Andre coming back with Steven Jackson. I like your style, buddy. V-Jax is another interesting guy. Now, I know he's not a free agent, but whoa, wait a minute. The Chargers apparently are more willing to deal V-Jax than once thought, okay? Now, Bo never confirmed it. Listen to this. I read this. Rams GM Billy DeBaney offered a second-round pick and then some last year for Vincent Jackson. Now, we all know A.J. Smith, the San Diego GM. He's he's a real hard gamer. He and V-Jax didn't get anywhere with him, but he might be more willing to deal V-Jax this year. Now, prior to lockout, V-Jax received the franchise tag, Mike. That means what? I mean, that ensures that V-Jax a one-year paycheck of like $10 million. Now, if they want Steve Smith from Carolina, it would make V-Jax very expendable, assuming they retain Malcolm Floyd and they don't sign, or they sign somebody else. So, V-Jax is the bona fide stud wide receiver. If the Rams could somehow get in on the V-Jax party, oh, my gosh. Where would you draft V-Jax, everybody in the crew, at the chat room here, Red vs. Blue? Tell me how high you would draft V-Jax if he went to the St. Louis Rams. I'm thinking you got Andre, you got Roddy, you got Calvin. And you're drafted V-Jax, like, right after that.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, you got to go V-Jax. I mean, this guy's hungry to play. There's no doubt about it, Scott. I mean, this guy's ready.
All right, Mike. Well, this is a pretty good show. Our first week back in a while. There's a couple of other situations we could talk about. I mean, everybody's talking D'Angelo to Demmer. I mean, that's Denver, is that the biggest foregone conclusion we've seen yet? I mean, it makes so much sense. Carolina already had Stewie in the pass catching back in Goodson. Moreno would move into a situational and pass catching back for John Fox. So, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't get too excited about D. Will in Denver because I just don't. I think you need receptions in these high stakes leagues, and I don't see him getting a lot of receptions nor a lot of touchdowns in Denver with Tebow. So. I'm not real high on D'Angelo anymore, especially in that situation. Lance Moore, on the other hand, man, you know what? I got to love Dynasty Leagues, okay? Where else are you up late at night thinking about Lee Evans for Lance Moore? That's the offer I got in the Hyper League the other day. Lee Evans for Lance Moore. I mean, how did that happen? I'm not high on Evans, but I'll take a second look at him, and I want to make sure I'm not missing something there. Now, I mean, if I look at Lance Moore, if he was on the Jaguars or something, I mean, how well would this kid do on Jacksonville, you know? I mean, he's already like the third option for the Saints, right?
Yeah.
He's right behind Colston and probably right behind Graham, I would think. Maybe even number two option. He might be the number two option. So, I don't know. The past few years, Lance Moore, he's developed into a very dependable wide receiver for me. He's caught 71% of the passes thrown his way, Mike. That's ninth best in the NFL. That's like Welker-ish, okay? I could see him really working out on teams like Cincinnati, who needs a veteran. The Jets, maybe, if they lose Brad Smith and potentially Holmes. I mean, that's a nice value wide receiver. You know, the Saints offered Lance Moore $1.5 million. That's it.
Wow.
$1.5 million to re-sign him. I mean, that's to sign more, a team would have to surrender a second-round draft choice as compensation if the Saints didn't match, what the other team offers him. But what a value pick Lance Moore is, you know? He's great for any team that lands him.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's all
I mean,
got, man. I don't know. We can talk about all my Bradshaw. We can talk about the guys all night. I mean, look, you have all my Bradshaw at the Giants next year. Do you think they re-sign that guy? I don't know. Mike's wearing
that's
out on me.
You what?
I think you're wearing out on me, man.
No, I'm not. I'm just like, I can't believe all this stuff that, that they're offering these guys and, doing. It's incredible.
Well, we're going to come back next Friday. I promise we'll be better. We'll finish up with Amon Bradshaw and talk about him in overtime. And that's it, guys, for Red vs. Blue. We'll see you next Friday night. We'll have another big show. We'll try to line up a guest, maybe, if I don't feel like just yapping at Mikey here. We haven't talked in a while. I wanted to kind of yap with you, buddy. So,
thanks for
joining us, and we'll see you next Friday.
You've been listening to Red vs. Blue Sports Talk Radio, where Planet Red and Big Blue Nation collide, with your hosts, Scott Atkins and Michael Trent. Please join us next time.
All right, Mikey, that was it. That was Red vs. Blue. We're back in action, man. Were you you did pretty good, bud.
Hey, well, you know what? How you doing, man? You doing all right?
Hey, I'm doing real well now that the NFL is kind of breaking those chains on that lockout, man. That's going to make everybody a little happier. I don't have to soothe my sorrow in my beer every night, man. I think I could cut back because I'm gaining a few pounds on those, man. Dang, got to cut back.
Cool. Well, you know what? It's been kind of interesting. You know, Rachel's like, should I set the league up, our local league, and this and that? And I was like, Rachel, set it up. Things are going to happen. And then when I was driving home, I guess it was Thursday night, I was like, you know, it's going to happen. And, you know, we'll be all right.
Yep, we've got our draft date already set. I don't. I've got it in my calendar, so I know that's a lock to happen. So we'll see if we can't defend that title again, Mikey. We'll talk to you next week, buddy.
All right, take care, Scott.